Okay, a new book, Chumash Dvarim, and we are going to study a portion of the second reading. The second reading is actually a dispute where exactly it begins, but we're going to take a look not at verse 11 to 12, but rather chapter 1, verse 13. So Moshe Rabbeinu was tasked with creating a Sanhedrin, or a judiciary body. And this judicial body would be the one to judge the Jewish people. Okay, what kind of people do we need? We need smart people, wise people, understanding people, we need learned people. Havu lachem anoshim. Verse 13 says, Moshe Rabbeinu said, Havu lachem. We'll soon see how Rashi interprets the word havu, as in preparing. Prepare for me men. What kind of men are we looking for? The ones you can't find. Chachamim, wise men. Nevoinim, understanding men. Viduim, and known men. So we have Chacham bin Adas right there. And they have to be l'shivtechem, to your tribes. Va'asimim, v'reishechem, and I will place them at your head. Let's take a look at Rashi. Havu lechem. What does havu mean? Havu usually means give. Havu lachem sounds very strange. Give to you? Who should give to you? So therefore Rashi says, here havu does not mean give, but havu rather means prepare. Hazminu atzmechem ledavar. Prepare yourself for this. This is what we're going to be looking for. This is what we're going to need. So prepare yourself so we can choose these people. Anoshim. Rashi says at that time, the woman did not play a leadership role at all. It was not that in the judiciary. So why do you have to say anashim? It would seem to be self-understood. I know this sounds very funny to people, but it would seem to be self-understood that it was not going to be women. So why would the Torah have to say men? So Talmud Leimer, anashim. Anashim doesn't just mean men. Anashim actually means tzaddikim. That, as they say in Yiddish, proverbially, a mensch. A mensch doesn't mean a man. A mensch means a mensch. So prepare for me mention. Make sure these are righteous people. I don't know if it's the tzaddik of or of the Tanya, or the Beinoni of the Tanya, but the tzaddikim here probably is, euphemistically speaking, a mensch, a righteous person. Chachamim, what kind of righteous people? So we need people who are chachamim, who are wise. Rashi says, chachamim means that they are kisufim. What does kisufim mean? So kisufim, it seems, comes from the terminology of kesef, which means silver. I suppose you would say Moshe Rabbeinu was looking for sterling individuals. And that means kisufim. So kisufim, that means people who are purified, crystallized, people who have undergone some kind of purification process, refinement process, in other words, refined individuals. Kisufim means refined, just like silver is refined and the toxins are burnt off. As Shlomo HaMelech says, wisely observed in the book of Proverbs in Mishlei, he says, Kesef Nivchar Lashon Tzadik, that silver which has been crystallized, silver which has been refined, is a euphemism for righteousness. So Anoshim Nivchachamim means Kisufim, people who are refined. Unevoinim, what kind of people are Nevoinim? You already said Chachamim. So what does Nevoinim mean? So Rashi says that inasmuch as he explained Chachamim in a proverbial way, or like more of a developed situation, Nevoinim speaks to the talent or ability. And that is Mevinim Dovar Mitoich Dovar. People who can deduct and understand something even though they didn't hear it. So they heard one thing, and through deductive reasoning, they can come to a new conclusion or understand an entirely new idea. Rashi says, Zohi Sheshol Arius es Rabbi Yosi. This is what the Roman Caesar asked Rabbi Yosi. He asked him, Ma bein chachamim l'nevoinim? What's the difference between wise people and understanding people? Are they both not language of understanding, of intellectual excellence? And he responded, and he said to him like this. I'll use a metaphor, he told Arius. Chacham deime l'shulchani asher. The chacham is like a money changer, which was a very common pursuit in antiquity, when there were different currencies, and you always had to change. People were moving from one country to the next, to one province to the next, and different kings had struck different coins. So there's a shulchani, there's the person who sits, so to speak, at the proverbial table, shulchani from the term shulchan, who is usher. He's affluent, he's successful. And therefore, he stays put. Kishemevi'in lo dinarim, when you bring him coins, lirais, Raya, you bring him coins to examine. This is a good coin, this is not a good coin. So he analyzes the coins and he simply responds. In other words, he does his business, he conducts his affairs. And what if nobody brings him any coins for him to examine? So Yeshev Visaya, then he just sits there. He's twiddling his thumbs. But a Navain would be the equivalent of Daima. He is the one in the intellectual realm, obviously, but he is the one who is metaphorized or likened to Shulchani Tagar, the Shulchani, the person who sits by the table, the money changer, if you will, who is, he engages. He's a business person. He's looking for the business. Kishmevian Loimois, when you bring him the money for him to analyze, then Lira Israel, then you bring it to him, he looks at it. But when you don't bring it to him, he doesn't sit and twiddle his thumbs. Then he seeks the business. He looks for business. So this is not a person who will do business if you come to him and bring the business to his doorstep. This is a person who seeks business. This is a person who creates opportunity rather than waiting for opportunity to knock. He'll bring and invest his own funds in being able to obtain and grow his nest egg. So the point then is that this is obviously not a discussion of business. This is not about business. So the Vayim and Chachamim are not business people, but it's in the metaphor. People understand money sometimes better than they understand academia. So Arius understood money. You just go explain to him the difference. If he asked a question, he doesn't get it to begin with. He didn't understand the difference between one Talmud Chacham and another, the person who is a Navin or the person who is a Chacham. And therefore, there was no choice but to explain it to him in the language he understood. What did a Roman emperor understand? He understood money. Now you're talking. So he said, okay, you know, there's some people who wait for business to come and some people who make the business happen, they look for the business. That's the difference. Some people, whatever you'll teach them, they know. And some people are always investigating and looking for a deeper message. They do not simply take what they've received and retain it, but rather they grow it and they develop it. That's the difference between Chacham and Nevi'im. Now, I have to tell you, it's very interesting. The Rambam, and today's a special day for the Rambam because we conclude learning the Rambam for the 38th time today. This is the conclusion of the Machzor. And tonight, of course, is the Siyum Rambam. The Rambam in Hilchas Sanhedrin, in the 7th Halacha, Perek Beis, in the second chapter, 7th Halacha, he talks about what kind of person is supposed to be selected for the Sanhedrin. And he says that Moshe Rabbeinu's selection, or Moshe Rabbeinu's quest, is actually the origin of what we look for today. So how do you know what to look for in a judge? What God told Moshe Rabbeinu. Doesn't that make sense? And he says there are seven things that we look for. The Rambam says we look for Chochmah, we look for wisdom. We look for Yireh, we look for a sense of respect, awe, and reverence for Hashem. We look for Anova, we look for humility. We look for Sinas Mammon, a person who does not seek profit, but rather seeks wisdom. We look for Ahavas HaEmes, a person who loves the truth. Lots of people don't like the truth. The truth is not so popular. We look for Ahavas HaBrias, a person who loves other people. That's number six. And finally, Baal Shem Tov, people who have good reputation. People don't have skeletons in their closet. That's the kind of people we look for. How do we know this? Because it's Mefurashim B'Torah, Rambam says. And he says, Harei Oimer, he says, Anoshim Chachamim U'Nevoinim. People who are wise and discerning. And he says, Harei Balei Chachma Omer. That's Balei Chachma. So the Rambam does not see a distinction, a necessary distinction between Chachamim and Nevoinim. It's different ways of understanding ideas. There's grasping the idea, which is always required. And then there's understanding the idea. They go together. In fact, in Chassidus, we often quote the Kabbalistic maxim that Chochmah and Bina are train rein, are two best friends, the Leimis Parshim, who never separate from one another. So it's not unreasonable to say what the Rambam is saying. It makes sense to say that Chachamim and Nevinim are different descriptions of the same thing. The person who is wise will be both wise and understanding, wise and discerning. I think I told this to you before. I was once sitting next to the famous Rabbi Abraham Tversky, Dr. Abraham Tversky from Pittsburgh. And we were talking, very interesting conversation. And in the middle of the conversation, he says to me, close your eyes. rolled my eyes. And he takes my hand and he puts it on a key. Took a key out of his pocket and puts it on a key. And he says, what is that? What is that? And my eyes are closed. It's a key. How do you know it's a key? I said, what do you mean? I feel it's a key. Open your eyes. I open my eyes. And of course, it's a key. He said, how did you know it's a key? I said, what do you mean? I felt it's a key. He said, it's really first a piece of metal. After it's a piece of metal, what kind of piece of metal is it? It's metal, which is in the shape or form of a key. He says, Chachma is to know that it's metal. Bina is to know that it's a key. In other words, this is the first, the general concept, grasping what we're talking about here. And then there's the details, the analysis. He says, but you didn't say it's metal in the shape of a key. You said it was a key. He said, that's the meaning of Trein Reid Lo Misparshin. That's what says in Chassidus, that Chachma and Bina are best friends and they never separate. So when we grasp something, we already grasp it with its details. Because to grasp something only by its raw or broad pluralistic definition without any kind of detail doesn't work. We have to have details because details enable us to have an understanding. We can, of course, fill in and flesh in the details, but we have to have details to begin with. So that's how the Rambam takes it. The Rambam says, no, this is the same thing. Chachamim and Nevoinim means people who are wise. But Rashi and Pshuta Shel Mikra doesn't accept that. Why not? So I'll tell you why. Because, I mean, that's what it seems to me. Because if Chachma and Bina, which is Chachamim and Nevoinim, if they're trained reindle in Misparshan, if they always come together, why would you have to say Chachamim and Nevoinim? It would be self-understood. If they're Chachamim, they're Nevoinim. How else would they be able to have Chachma? You can't have Chachma without Bina. So why do you have to spell out Bina? So from a Pshuta Shel Mikra, a literal level, where every word has to have some kind of literal meaning, has to add and bring value to the table, the question then is, why did Hashem have to tell Moshe Rabbeinu, look for Chachamim u'Nevoinim? You could have just said, look for Chachamim, and I would have understood automatically it has to be Nevoinim. There has to be some level of Bina in order to be a level of Chachma. You can't have Chachma without Bina. So the question then is, why does the Torah spell out both? And here, that's where Rashi and Pshuta Shel Mikra says, aha, so there has to be something else that's going on here. Now it says, v'yiduim l'shivtechem. Of course, that spells out Chachma, Bina, and Das. That's nice, that's sweet, but that's not really what it says. Because even though Chachamim is Chachma, and Nevoinim is Bina, and Yiduim is Das, but here it doesn't say Yiduim, which means knowledgeable. It says Yiduim l'shivtechem, which speaks about their social status. It speaks about their relationship with others. It's not mutually exclusive, but it's not really describing their intellectual capacity or their cerebral ability. It's describing something else. It's describing their social and interactive kind of relationship with others, how they're perceived by others. Yiduim l'shivtechem. So Rashi says, what does this mean then? So clearly Rashi says it has to mean yiduim l'shivtechem means shehem nikarin lachem, that they are known to you, which means a person comes proverbially wrapped up in his talis. Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Any idea? I don't know who he is. Mihu? I don't know Meza Shevetu. I don't know what Shevetu. I don't know Mahaganu. Everybody can wrap himself in a raiment of righteousness. Everybody can present as a big tzaddik. Everybody can present as a person of integrity. Moshe Rabbeinu says, I don't know these people. I don't know. I got millions of people that I'm overseeing. One person. You're going to say, if it's Moshe Rabbeinu, it's Moshe Rabbeinu. He's supposed to know everything by miracles. So there's a very interesting story. During this, the business of the Sfarim, when the Sfarim was stolen from the Rebbe's library, and there was a question of the court case. So Rabbi Avraham Shemtev relates that he was in the Rebbe's study, having a discussion about this, and the Rebbe asked him about a particular person if he thinks he would be good to be called to the stand as a witness. So Rabbi Shemtev felt very uncomfortable. The Rebbe's asking him if he'll be good. So he said to the Rebbe Vesach. Now, Rebbe didn't know this person. Rabbi Shemtev knew this person on a personal level. He knew. So the Rebbe said, why do we have to use supernatural ability? Without saying it, that's what the Rebbe said. In other words, yes, a Rebbe could know things because the Rebbe knows things, but there's no purpose or no reason to use ability which is beyond rhyme and reason when rhyme and reason is available. So Moshe Rabbeinu would say the same thing. Moshe Rabbeinu could know everything. Yeah, he could know everything. Moshe Rabbeinu was clairvoyant, as they say, in the highest level. But Moshe Rabbeinu says, look, God told me to choose. I could just choose. I could just say, okay, choose the people, bring them in front of me. Moshe Rabbeinu will sniff and say, this is a judge, this is not. But that's not what Hashem told him. Hashem told him, get to know the people. Choose them for their qualities. So in that case, Moshe Rabbeinu says, I need you do l'shivteichem. I need your advice. You need to tell me, this person's a good person. We know this person. This is a person of integrity. This is a person that people like. This is a person that people get along with. This person, no, it's not. It doesn't work. So that's the meaning of yidu l'shivteichem, as she says. Any day I don't know who, me whom is a shevet who, I don't know if he's good. Aval atem, makirim ba, you know him. Atem gedaltim, you grew up together with him. So this is one of your peers. L'chach nemer, that's why it says, v'yiduim l'shivteichem. And why does it say in the end of the verse, b'rasheichem, at your heads? Why doesn't it say simply, v'asimim aleichem, I'll place them over you? So Rashi says that the intimation here is, roshim u'michubodim aleichem, that they should be given a position of prominence and importance over you. In other words, they should be raised to a position of importance. Shetiyu noyhagim behem kovid v'yira, that you should provide them with a sense of reverence, a sense of awe, a sense of respect. In other words, you need to elevate their position. You need to elevate them. That's your job. Your job is to treat them well, to treat them special. Because if we don't know how to respect our own judiciary, if we can't respect our own leadership, then we're doomed as a society. Then we're not going to be able to interact. We need to be able to respect the people who are chosen for that kind of leadership and important position. Now, it's interesting to note that the business of Yiduim L'Shivteichem, which is well known to you, so Ramban puts it a little bit differently. He says, you should tell me who was kind of preordained for leadership already. In every society, there are people who emerge as leaders and followers. That's the way it is. Leadership quality is an innate thing. You can usually go into an elementary school class and you can pick out who will be the future leaders. It's not hard to do this. In society today, they have leadership programs. It's not hard to guess who will be a future leader. It's very easy. Small children can be seen already. It says, the Gemara says, butzen mekatfei yediyah. You can see a lot from small children, the way they behave. You can see who will someday be a leader or who has the ability to be a leader. And some people who are too timid and they're not going to be able to get to muster others to follow them, they just don't have it. They're not leaders by nature. So Ramban says, yiduim l'shivteichem means, I need to know from you who is a leader. And another thing is anshei chayil. Anshei chayil means a person who's capable. A person who gets a job done. There are people who, they get stuff done, and there are people who just don't. It's nature, it's human nature. You can't change that. And usually people know that. You know, when by the time kids are teenagers, you'll know which are the kids who make stuff happen, and which are the kids who watch it happen, and which are the kids who wonder what happened. That's just the way it is. So he says, anshei chayil, that's gonna be. And then he says, we're supposed to find Yirei Elikim, people who revere Hashem, they live respectfully, you'll know that. You'll know who's an anshei emes, you'll know who lives with integrity, you know who's sayne betza, and so on and so forth. So the Rambam, when he says about yiduim l'shivteichem, he says something very interesting. He says yiduim l'shivteichem means, elu sheruach habriyos noicha mehem. These are the people that other people enjoy. Their company is enjoyed by people. People like to be in their presence. People crave closeness and relationship with these people. Ubame yiyu ahuvim l'briyos. What makes a person popular? What makes a person beloved? Why do people like somebody or not? He says, Bizman sheyiyu bali ayin tova. Do you know who people like? People like somebody who don't look at them in a captious way, in a judgmental way, but look at them in a good way, in ayin tova. And ayin tova means they look at somebody, they see the good in the person, they don't see the bad in the person. People like that. People like somebody who makes them feel good. People like somebody who sees them in the best light, not somebody who sees them in the worst light. When you know you meet somebody and he looks at you with his withering glance, sizes you up and judges you the second you see him, you don't want to be with your person. I don't need to be judged. I don't need to be demonized. I don't need to be belittled. I don't need to be put down. But if somebody, you meet somebody and they lift you up, put you on a pedestal, say, oh, so nice what you did. You're such a fine person. They see all the good qualities in you. You want to be with those people. And therefore, Rambam says, that means you do l'sh techem. In other words, the Rambam disagrees with Rashi. He says, it's not about you do him. You know who these people are. You know if they have these qualities. He says, Yiduim speaks to the kind of an affectionate relationship. People who are beloved. He says, when else do people like other people? Who likes arrogant people? Who likes people who are full of themselves and have to put everybody else down as a result because they have to always pick themselves up? Who likes people like that? The answer is nobody. You like people who are humble. Humble people are always liked by others. Then there's people who is chevrasan teva. They have this way of getting along with people. They have charisma. They have the ability. They're affable. They know how to get along. They have the gift of engaging with others. Masan v'diburim benachas. When they speak in a gentle way. They speak respectfully towards others. They're not brusque. They're not abrupt. People like this, other people like. So when you find people like this, bring them to me. That's when you bring them to me. So it's very interesting that Ramban speaks about Yiduim not as about knowledge, but rather Ramban speaks about Yiduim as people who have a good relationship, who people relate to, people like. And it's very interesting that Rambam uses the term, he says Yiduim is Ruach Abriyas Neichemeno, and he says Ahuvim Labriyas, beloved, beloved. So somebody pointed out, one wise person pointed out, that Adam and Chava, when they were intimate the first time, what does the Torah use to describe that intimacy? What does the Torah use to describe the relationship? It says Adam Yoda. So a loving relationship, loving closeness is described as Yediya. Now obviously that's one kind of loving relationship, but hopefully that's not what the judge is doing, because it's self-understood. But the point is that the word Yediya could speak about a cerebral reality, it could speak about an intellectual quality or property, or it can speak about an emotional relationship. And here we see, since it speaks about Adam and Chava, their profound and emotional closeness, so it makes sense when you say what Rambam says, Yiduim is known, it's not about knowledge, knowing, it's about relationship. So those are the kind of people that we should be looking for to find leadership. People have leadership quality, and people can bring it the best from others. As the famous tzaddik, the Levi Yitzchak Berditchev used to say, who is a tzaddik? He said, who is a tzaddik? He said, a tzaddik is somebody who can bring tzidkes out of every person they meet. You meet a person, you bring forth, there's some righteousness within everybody, but it's beneath the surface that tzaddik knows how to bring it out. And this was the great thing about the Rebbe, I mean, one of the great things. Everybody the Rebbe met, the Rebbe knew how to bring forth their light. The Rebbe knew how to be, oh, when a person was in front of the Rebbe, he was all he could be. The person was, became the best person possible. The Rebbe's gift was to be able to take the beautiful qualities in each one and bring it to the fore. As the Rebbe once told somebody, I studied electrical engineering in university, but I prefer to turn on the lights in people's souls. Okay, so now, this all sounds very nice, but there's a very big question which we have not dealt with at all. And the big question has something to do with the fact that this is not the first time in the Torah we find the terminology of Chachamim and Nevoinim. It's not the first time. This has happened already.
Yitro?
No.
No?
No, because this is a recapitulation of Yisro. And why is this important? Well, it's important because if you take a look a little bit further, what does Rashi tell us? Rashi says, so did Moshe Rabbeinu find success? Did he find these people? So if you take a look a little later in the next verse, Batanu Oisi, you answered, V'atayim Ruteba Dover. Good stuff, we like this. Which wasn't good. Because we really should have said, no, Moshe Rabbeinu, we want you to judge us. We said, great. Why do we think great? Because we think if we can't sell Moshe Rabbeinu a bill of goods, we can sell the person I know a bill of goods. We had the right, wrong intentions. But Tamer, we said, Teva David Hashem Dibartelasis. Yeah, this is good. We like this. Sure. Let's go for it. And what happened is that we try to thwart the situation. Rashi says, Vatanu Esi. Chilatem es hadavar. You like this, but you know why you like this? You like this lahana aschem because you thought this is good for you. Hoye lechem lahashav. You should have said Meishar Abenu, Rebbe. Mimino alumet. From who should we learn? Mimcha or mitalmidcha? From you or from your students? We should learn from you. No, we didn't say that. We said, oh great, we'd love to learn from your students. Loy mimcha shenitztaarta. Not from you who toiled, who fasted for 40 days and 40 nights to get the Torah. Shouldn't we be learning from you? You toiled and you literally you pained yourself over the Torah. Aleha. Elo Moshe Rabbeinu says, "Yodaiti machshav eisechem. I knew you. I know what you were thinking." Heyisem meimim. You were saying, "Achshav yismanu aleinu dayonim harbe." Now there'll be lots of judges. Now we have the opportunity to choose one over the other. Im ein atem makireinu anu mevin lideren. And then, so first of all. A lot of judges, you find the guy you like. You don't find the guy you like, you make him like you. You'll buy him off. And therefore, anu mevi'im l'dayin v'hu neisel anu panim. You thought you'd be able to beat the system. You thought you couldn't beat me, but you could beat the system. And that's why you were happy about this. So Moshe Rabbeinu just alludes to this by saying, v'atanu esi v'atem rutei v'davim. Lasseis Rashi says, im ha'yisim is atzel, atem oimrim li asei mehera. You said, lasseis, quickly, let's get this done. Move Moshe Rabbeinu over. Bring in the judges. We like this. And you would have kind of hurried me along instead of the appropriate thing, which should have been to stay and to still Moshe and say, Moshe Rabbeinu, really, we wanted to take it from you. We don't like Yeshua's ideas, etc. So what happened? What happened in verse 15 is, Ve'ekech esoshe shivtechem, I took the heads of your tribes. Anoshim chachomim, v'yiduim, chachomim and yiduim, ve'etenesim roshim aleichem, I placed them heads over you. So according to Rambam, there's no question. Because Chachamim is Nevoinim. But according to Rashi, who drew a clear distinction between Chachamim and Nevoinim, what's missing over here? There's a quality missing. The Yiduim, we know, it says Yiduim. It says, Ekach es Rashi Shivtechem, Anoshim Chachamim, V'Yiduim. What's missing? Nevoinim is missing. What happened to the discerning, deductively understanding people? So Rashi says, first of all, it means to take him, I didn't schlep him by the hair. Mashachtim bedvarim, I drew them close with words. I said to them, Ashreichem, fortunate are you, al mi basem lihismanes, for whom have you come to be appointed leaders over? Now, leadership is not always such a fun position. So people could say, you know what, it's okay. Let somebody else be the leader. I'd rather live long. I'd rather have an easy life. I don't need all this grief. So Rashi said, Moshe said to the people, look who you're being a leader over. It's not just Ami Basem Lismanes, Bnei Avram, Yitzchak V'Yankev. These are the children of Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. Who are these people? These are people, are Shanikru, Achim V'Reim, people who are called, so to speak, kindred spirits, people who are called sibling-like to God Himself. That's who we're talking about over here. The people about whom it says that they are a chelik v'nachla, they are a portion, an inheritance of God. Used all kinds of endearing terminology to show how wonderful, how beautiful the Jewish people are. This is Moshe Rabbeinu, who knows exactly who the Jewish people are, who knows they're out to get him, who knows that they're going to try to shortchange him, who knows they're going to try to abuse the situation. But still, Avraham Yitzchak's children. These are Hashem's beloved nation. So I spoke to these people and I said, how fortunate, how lucky, how special are you that you get chosen to be a leader over a nation like this, over people like this. Anoshim chachamim v'yiduim, says Rashi, avol nevoinim leimatzasi. But the people who could be wise by deductive reasoning didn't find them. Didn't find them, says Moshe. It was the needle in the haystack. It didn't get found. He found chachamim. He didn't find nevoinim. Now, zoy achas mishivim mideis sh'omer Yisrei l'misha. This is one of the seven things that Yisrei said to Moshe Rabbeinu. Here's what you got to look for. We just read this from the Rama. The Rama enumerates seven different things. But Lematza El Shalosh, he only found three out of seven. He found Anoshim, which we said are tzaddikim. We found Chachomim, which we said are kisufim, Rashi said, people who are refined. And then finally, he found Yiduim, people who are known to be known to you. But Anshe Chayal, Anshe Emes, and Ibetza, people who are people of great integrity, people who are extremely valorous or capable, people who hated money, couldn't find those. And Nevoinim couldn't be found either. And they were placed as heads over you. So the big question is, number one, this is not the first time that we're looking for Nevoinim. When was Moshe Rabbeinu looking for Nevoinim? When was the last time we looked for Chachma, Bina, and Das?
Meraglim?
No, I don't know.
So who, when?
When they built a Mishkan. He said, I need people with Chachma, Bina, and Das. I need Chabad to build a Mishkan. And over there, it seems that Moshe Rabbeinu did find Nevoinim. And over there, Rashi explains Nevoinim differently. So the big question is, how come when it came to building a Mishkan, you could find Chabad? And now you couldn't find Chabad. Here he found Chachamim and Yiduim, but he couldn't find Nevoinim. But there he could find the Nevoinim too. So you're going to say, it was a different kind of Nevoinim. clearly, but ho guf akasha. This in and of itself has to be understood. Lucky for us, the Rebbe spoke about it, so we have an answer. Okay, so please join us now on page Chav Vav in the Biurim book. Yesh lahakshes. The Rebbe brings us an amazing question based on everything we just learned. Two big questions. Number one, question one. Ha-hevdol bein chochma le-tevuna, the difference between chochma and tevuna, musbar kvar. It's already explained. Rashi already explains it in Parshas Kisiso. In Exodus 31, verse 3, with regard to making the Mishkan, it says, Rashi says, b'chochma masha adam shemeya dvarim me'acherim v'loimit. The person hears something with somebody else, and they know it. They get it. Kapish, you get it? I told you something, you get it? I get it, good, you're a chacham. Now, do you understand? Can you deduct from what I said something which I didn't say? I don't know, that you have to be unknowing. That you have to be a person who has the powers of deductive reasoning. You have to be able to really analyze something carefully and creatively come with a deeper understanding. Ubetavuna, Rashi says, Maven davar milibay miter dvarim shalamad. You learned something. You didn't have everything spelled out. One idea can then be analyzed and you can deduct another idea from it. Rashi doesn't go into this whole business of money and business and shulchani and guys sitting by the table. He's talking in cerebral terms. He doesn't bring Arius, he doesn't bring Rabbi Yossi. Who needs, who cares about some Roman Caesar? He's talking just straight goods. The person understands, that's a chacham. He knows what you're talking, what you're saying. He understands what you're talking about. He got it. Good, chacham. A person who can listen to you and then understand more. Navin. Straight up. Vesham, lo matzah Rashi l'nochem. Rashi did not find l'havi al-kach mashal, to bring a mashal of business people, the business person who seeks the business, the guy who just takes the business opportunity that knocks and he answers the door, or he seeks opportunity when opportunity doesn't. He doesn't talk about that. Why does Rashi here have to introduce us to Arius and give us a mashal that Rabbi Yossi gave? That's a very strong question. Question number two is, how is it possible? How could it be that Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't find the needle in the haystack? Why couldn't he find another one? When it came to Melechas HaMishkan, which is the same period of time. Same period, same time. So in the same time, we don't find the Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't find. Matzinu, we find Shenimtzu gam Bali Tvuna. They found Bali Tvuna. Bezalel had Bali Tvuna working with him. It says it openly in the Pasuk. In the Pasuk, in the verse, it says, in Vayakel, which is Exodus 36 in the beginning, it says, V'asa Bezalel, V'ahaliyav, Bezalel did, and Ahaliyav did, V'chal ish chacham levav, and all people wise of heart, Asher nosan Hashem, Chochma utevuna behemah. People who had chochma, wisdom, and tevuna, and deductive reasoning and understanding placed in them. So did Bezalel have nevoinim in his and under his faculty? In his, yeah, he did. So if Bezalel had nevoinim, why couldn't Moshe find nevoinim?
Did something change after the?
It's the same time.
The Egel. But did something change after?
They're both Egel. After the Egel.
It really? Was that right after Matan Torah, but before going up to the?
So you think?
I don't know, but is there a possibility?
It's definitely after the Egel, according to Rashi, because Yisrael sees Moshe Rabbeinu on the day after, judging people from morning to night, and then he comes to him and he says, "Why are you doing this all by yourself? You have to choose other people." What was the day after? Rashi says, "Machras, Yom Kippurim," the day after Moshe Rabbeinu brought back the second set of luchos.
Oh, okay.
So they both left the Egel. That's an interesting suggestion. And maybe the Egel sacked them from Novin, took away their Nevuna, took away their Bina, but we have no indication of that. But this is at the same time. They're both after the Egel. Here you found Nevinim, people with Bina, and he didn't. So these are two very strong questions. I'm just going to repeat them again. Question number one. Over there, Rashi doesn't bring a whole metaphor of business and opportunity knocking. And here he does. There he simply explains the difference between somebody who understands or uses deductive reasoning. And there, they found it. And here, it couldn't be found. What's the pshat? Min ha-hechrich, says the Rebbe, we must say, she-shnei mini nevoinim lefaneinu. there are two kinds of nivoyne. It can't be. It sounds the same word. It can't be the same thing. Loi hare atvuna hanidreshes ledayonim, the nivonim, the deductive reasoning, which is required to be a judge, kare atvuna hanidreshes lebeinah mishkan, is not the same kind of deductive reasoning that's required to build a mishkan. It's not the same. You don't need the same wisdom in law school as you need in the school of architecture. It's not the same. It's a different kind of bina. Oh, the question, of course, is what is the difference? And precisely this distinction, can actually, it's alluded to, it's hinted to in the mashal, in the metaphor, the parable that Rashi brings. Hamusag maven dover mitach dover. The notion of understanding something from something else. So it's not what you received, but you can deduct carefully and understand something else from what you've heard. So this can be understood in two ways. Number one, hayicholes, the ability, lahasik pratim nesafim, you have the ability to learn new details. All the details weren't spelled out. You were just given a broad or general idea. And by carefully thinking through this idea, you develop the details which weren't communicated. It was mitoich ekroinius yesoid b'mizgeres tchum isuk mesuim, because you got basic principles within a certain discipline, within a certain kind of approach. So in that certain discipline, which had basics, you took these basics and you ran with them. You developed them further. That's one kind of maven dover mitech dover. That's one kind of deductive reasoning. Then there's another kind of deductive reasoning. And that is hayecholes levases rayonis chadoshim, the ability to intuit fresh new ideas. New ideas, not details of a pre-existing idea. Dgam betchumim shoinim, even in a different discipline, in a different science, in a different school of thought, you can take an idea and develop a whole new idea based on something that you heard in one particular milieu, something that was conveyed to you within a particular frame. You can export that into an entirely new discipline. And you can build a fresh idea. You can discover a whole new dynamic based on what you learned previously. It's a different level of genius. It's a different level of deductive reasoning. The first level of deductive reasoning is, I don't have to give you all the details. Some people, they're clever. You give them the basics, they run with it, they figure it out. But they're not creative geniuses. They're not going to come up with a whole new idea based on one. You told them, you gave them an idea, you don't have to spell it all out, they figured that out. That's great. That's clever. Then you have a person who can take an idea, a notion, and can develop a whole new world, can export it into a new discipline, and have a whole fresh understanding based on what they learned in one area to be exported to another area. Very different kind of person. It's a very different kind of intellectual prowess and gift. And the Rebbe suggests that this is the difference between people who are working on architecture or people who are working at the craftspeople, who are working on actually building, whether it's a structure or whether it's an artifact or a machine. There are people who can, you give them the broad basic ideas, and they fill in the details. And people whose job is to judge and analyze circumstances, situations, and have the wisdom to know what is the appropriate conclusion to come to. Tavnas HaMishkan, let's talk about the Mishkan, the shape of the Mishkan. Was that left for people to figure out on their own? No, it was given Al Yedei HaKadosh Baruch Hu L'Moshe. And it actually was given in great detail. Look at Parshas Terumah. We get down to little hooks and pulleys. Everything is in there. Tafkidim Shel Eisei HaMelacha, so what was the challenge, the task, the purpose of those who were mustered for this work? They had to figure out the Hizbainim B'tavnis, take a look at this shape, take a look at this design, and figure out, Kefi Shatur Elamai De Mesh Rabbeinu. So how do you make this a reality? How do you get from point A on the design table to actuality? That takes some creativity. You have to fill in the details. Lahasik mitechkach, they were supposed to figure out, Ketzad Livnei Sesem Mishkan B'Poel. It's a great idea. It's a beautiful image. It makes sense on the drawing table. How do you actualize the ideas? How do you take the drawings and turn them into real life? So they had to be clever. L'shem kach, yesh tzedach rak betvuna. They needed what kind of cleverness? What kind of understanding? What kind of deductive reasoning? The first kind. The ability to fill in the details. Because they didn't get the details of how to do it. They just had, here's the vision. This is what is the end goal. You figure out how we get from raw material to end goal. You figure that out. So they could figure that out. They could fill in details. And that was the nevoinim, that was the deductive reasoning required in Bezalel's area, in Bezalel's task. However, b'parsha seinu, in our parsha l'um azeis, in sharp contrast, meduber be'inyin shoyna lachalutin, we're talking about a totally different reality here. It's not as if there was a clear picture that was given to you, and you figure out, how do I make this picture a reality? How do I make it happen? Okay, that's, you figured out how to happen. He's a clever fellow. Here, tafkidim shel dayanim, the purpose of a judge is lishpeit es Yisrael, to be able to render judgment la'achriya achrayis toronis v'ilchosis, to be able to apply Torah truths, to be able to try halachic axioms, which in situations which are constantly shifting and changing, because that's human, the reality of human anthropology is it's always changing. And you need to know how to apply the halacha in a new situation, a situation that never existed before. This is a new dispute. This is, you look in the law books, you look in the Mishnah, it doesn't talk about this particular dispute. This situation, we never heard of it before. What do you do now? For this you need the very name. This is the people who can dig deep, the people who are able to understand deductively from one reality or one area, can take that and apply it to a whole new area. This is not just cleverness. This is not just a clever architect. This is not just a person, a gifted artisan. This is a person who's a legal genius. To take one field and apply it to a totally different field of discipline. This is something which requires extraordinary ability. This is a sug of tevuma wachinader. Such genius is indeed rare. Ulgabov, and it's that kind of genius that Moshe Rabbeinu sadly said, loy matzasi. This was the needle in the haystack. This I could not find. And Rashi actually alludes to this. At least the Rebbe saw it in Rashi. How does he allude to it? He says, Novain doima l'shulchani tagar. He says it's like the business person. He's sitting at his store. He's there. He's open for business. Kishemaviyin le'moyas lidus, when you bring him the money, you bring him the coins to look at, fine, he sees. But kishemaviyin le'machzeru mevi mishaloi, he brings new coins. He invests his own money. In other words, he's not dealing with what you've given him already. The clever fellow, he was handed a bag of coins. He figured out how to make a profit out of it. He figured out how to develop it. But here, you were handed nothing. You didn't get anything. So, what are you going to do now? Now I have to create my own wealth. I'm going to have to build my own idea, so to speak. It's a whole different level of novin. So novin me'asug orishin, the first kind of novin, the ability to fill in details, that's like you get the bag of money and you count it over. Invested even. But here, you weren't given anything. You didn't actually get the details. You didn't even get the pluralistic general idea. You got nothing. What are you going to go on? I don't know. How do we even start here? You need to go and maybe Mishalai. You need to figure this out from starters. That kind of wisdom, that kind of nava, and that kind of cleverness, that kind of deductive reasoning to be able to uncover whole new fields of thoughts. This was something else Moshe Rabbeinu couldn't find.
And is that because they were slaves in Egypt? They lost.
I don't know. That's like saying, why is everybody in Ashul not a genius? Because they were slaves. Because genius is rare. That's why. It's rare. It's very rare to be able to take realities that were not handed to you and to come up with fresher.
But this is a Jewish people.
Yeah, it's Jewish people. It's like true. But they also had to be beloved to the people. They also had to be people who had a good reputation, right? There was a whole bunch of other things. So to find Nevoinim who fit into all the other things also, this Moshe Rabbeinu didn't find. Does it have something to do with being slaves? Maybe, I don't know. You know what they say, Nathan? Sometimes people who are very brilliant don't have a good bedside manner. There are good medical practitioners who are lousy communicators. So when you find a doctor, it was a good bedside manner, I say, wow, it's an amazing doctor. It's a good bedside manner. I never heard somebody just say, he's a good rabbi, he's a good bedside manner. It's self-understood. If he's a rabbi, he doesn't have to relate to people. What kind of rabbis are you going to be?
But it's also implying...
But incidentally, there are some rabbis who don't know how to relate to people. They can't communicate, they can't relate, they can't inspire people. So those rabbis end up in academia. They end up as a judge, maybe. Because, right? Because, in other words, you needed an array of gifts. You needed an array of ability. And that array of ability, that Nevoinim should be included within Chachomim and Yeduim and Anshei Chayil and Seinei Betzah, that was something Moshe Rabbeinu did.
What it's also saying is that it's not necessarily a priority to become a judge. right?
Because it would say it's not the highest priority.
Right.
Why not? Because we still had Moshe Rabbeinu. If they couldn't figure out the answer, at least we had somebody to fall back on. But in the end, there's always got to be a Moshe Rabbeinu. So yet, the smaller judges are not going to have to have it. The great leadership will always have to have that kind of fresh intuition. Mm-hmm. And by the way, that's how it is till this very day. The vast majority of rabbis cannot tell you how to deal with fresh new situations. The biggest halachic minds of a generation will deal with new situations we've never seen before. What do most rabbanim deal with? Things which are daily basis, regular shilas. Comes a big shilas, you say, okay, I have to go to a big rav for this. So from the time of Moshe Rabbeinu, that's how it was. Because to have an avoinim also, that's already an exceptional thing.
Yeah, makes sense. Okay.